Good morning, and welcome to Searching the Scriptures, brought to you by the Church of Christ that meets at Wasilla. We are located at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our phone number is 373-5773, and our website is churchofchristwasilla.com. Come and study God's Word with us. We meet at 10 a.m. for Bible study, 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. for services, and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. Each week, we'll endeavor to help you grow by searching the Scriptures. 2 Peter 3:18 reads, "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Please take out your Bibles and search the Scriptures with us this morning.
I'm Wendell Fikes, and we invite you to stay tuned as we study the Scriptures together. We're encouraged by your interest in examining and searching the Scriptures with us each Lord's Day. Today's lesson is entitled, "The Power of the Resurrection of Christ." Each spring, millions of people around the world acknowledge, in some fashion or another, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead some 2,000 years ago. Modern society calls it Easter. The term Easter in the King James Version of the Bible, Acts chapter 12 and verse 4, is a mistranslation. The Greek word is Pascha, correctly rendered Passover in later translations. Christians are not authorized to celebrate Easter as a special annual event acknowledging the resurrection of Christ. Faithful children of God reflect upon the Savior's resurrection every Sunday, the day Christ arose, on the first day of each week. According to Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, the Christians met on the first day of the week, and 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. The Scriptures about the resurrection are many. The Bible is plain. The inspired writers of the sacred text are thorough. Observe these verses that focus on the resurrection from the pen of the Apostle Paul. God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Again, Paul writes, "Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of his resurrection. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Several Old Testament sages alluded to, believed, or spoke of the future resurrection of the dead. Job, the patriarch of Uz, asked, "If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes." Job chapter 14 and verse 14. Later in the book, Job affirmed, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth." Job chapter 19 and verse 25. 2,000 years before Jesus was born, Abraham believed in the resurrection of the dead. Concerning that fact, speaking about Abraham and Isaac and the servants, Moses wrote, "Then they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' So he said, 'Here I am.' And he said, 'Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.'" Genesis chapter 22, verses 9 through 12. The writer of the New Testament book of Hebrews said concerning Abraham's offering of his son on an altar, "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, 'In Isaac your seed shall be called,' concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense." Hebrews chapter 11, verses 16 through 19. Abraham, in his mind, killed Isaac, believing that God could and would raise his son from the dead. No doubt, Abraham believed in the resurrection of the dead. The prophet Daniel revealed, "Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." Old Testament prophets foretold Christ's resurrection. The psalmist David said, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is on my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." Psalm chapter 16, verses 8 through 10. David speaks of the resurrection of Christ 1,000 years before his birth. Christ's body would not decay before it would be resurrected from the dead. Isaiah prophesied Christ's resurrection. "Your dead shall live. Together with my dead body they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead." Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. In his commentary on Isaiah, Wayne Jackson points out, "The resurrection of this context may be a resurrection of the righteous cause of God, which will come forth in the Messianic age. Be that as it may, the language surely prefigures the more graphic information of the New Testament, which clearly affirms the bodily resurrection of the dead." During the personal ministry of Jesus, he himself foretold the resurrection of the dead. "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. Notable Old Testament worthies such as Job, Abraham, and Daniel anticipated the resurrection. David and Isaiah prophesied Christ's resurrection. Jesus affirmed the resurrection of the dead. The entirety of our faith depends on the resurrection of Jesus. How do we know that fact? Hear the inspired Apostle Paul. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Verse 14, And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, and verses 14 through 19. If Jesus did not arise from the dead, then we have no hope of the future. Our hope of a future life is embedded in the power of the resurrection of Christ. Since our salvation depends on Christ's resurrection from the dead, can it be proven that Jesus arose from Joseph's new tomb? Did Christ arise from the dead? If there is no resurrection from the dead, if Christ did not arise, then Christianity is a hoax. Our faith has been invested in a lie, and we're wasting our time. Jesus' resurrection is a fact. The evidence is incontrovertible. Professor Thomas Arnold of Rugby, a world-renowned historian, once said that Christ's resurrection from the dead is the best attested fact in human history. Jesus himself said, Destroy this temple in 3 days. I will raise it up. Then the Jews said, It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? But he was speaking of the temple of his body. When he had risen from the dead, the disciples remembered what he had said to them, and they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. John chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Jesus declared, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Matthew chapter 12, verse 39 through 40. Luke records these words of Jesus. The Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised the third day. Luke chapter 9, verse 21 and 22. Mark adds this, The Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And after he is killed, he will rise the third day. Mark chapter 9 and verse 31. Jesus plainly tells his disciples, I must go to Jerusalem, suffer, be killed, and I will rise on the third day. Did Jesus rise on the third day? The account of Christ's resurrection is recorded in all four accounts of the gospel. We'll read, beginning with Matthew, a part of each account. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. There was a great earthquake. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel answered and said to the women, Do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 6. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. He said, Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 6. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came. Certain other women with them came to the tomb, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Two men stood by them in shining garments. Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 6. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. She ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said, They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. So they both ran together. The other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. He, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there. Yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. As yet they did not know the scripture, he must rise again from the dead. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 9. Did Jesus rise from the dead? Scholars say yes. The resurrection is the best attested fact in human history. The scriptures recorded by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John resoundingly answer yes. If Jesus did not arise from the dead, what happened to his body? There are only three possibilities. One, the enemies of Jesus took his body. Question, if the enemies had the Lord's body, why did they not show his body to everybody so that they could see that Jesus had not arisen? Would not that silence the apostles' preaching that Jesus had arisen from the dead? Would that not prove the resurrection story is a lie? The answer is obvious. The enemies had not stolen the body of Jesus from the tomb. Number two, the Lord's disciples took the body of Jesus and hid it. That's not a credible or believable explanation in view of the facts. Others besides the apostles had seen Jesus after he arose, and before he had ascended to heaven. Jesus was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. He was seen by James, then all the apostles. Last of all, Paul said, he was seen by me also. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. Were these people who were preaching the resurrection willing to suffer persecution, even death, for the testimony of saying, "We saw Jesus after he was crucified," knowing that the body of Jesus was decaying in some unmarked grave? Were James, Peter, and Paul willing to be martyrs to the cause of the resurrection, knowing they were preaching and defending a lie? Some may die for a belief they hold to be true, but few, if any, would give up their lives for a teaching they know to be false. There's only one option left. Jesus arose. Christ is risen. The Lord is not in the tomb. The tomb is empty. The power of the resurrection of Christ gives us confident assurance that we can have forgiveness from our sins. Paul wrote, "If Christ hath not been raised, our faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins." 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17. If Christ has not been raised, our faith is futile. Our faith is worthless, and we are still in our sins. The reverse of the apostles' affirmation would be this: if Jesus was raised, sins will be forgiven when we obey the gospel. Peter said, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Ananias said to Saul, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22 and verse 16. The power of the resurrection gives us hope. Luke recorded the Apostle Paul's words, "I have hope in God that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust." Acts chapter 24 and verse 15. The resurrection of Christ reveals to all humanity that the kingdom of God, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ, is ruled by a living sovereign. The living King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Jesus the Christ. The founder of Islam is dead. His bones lie dormant in the earth. But the founder of Christianity, the glorified Jesus the Christ, 60 years after his death, appeared to John on Patmos in a magnificently glorified persona. The Lord himself appeared to his beloved Apostle John one last time and said, "I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead will be raised. All the dead, all the righteous dead will be raised, and all the wicked dead will be raised. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. And John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29. From every burial site, from every watery grave in the seas, all will be raised. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 13. Jesus is affirming that all everywhere on planet Earth, both good and bad, will be raised at the same instant. All means all. There will be only one universal resurrection. Unless the Lord returns first, you and I and every other person on the earth will be a part of the resurrection. I'm Wendell Fikes. Thank you for listening. Until this same time next Sunday morning, we bid you a pleasant good day.
We hope you have been encouraged and will continue your study of God's Word. Please join us again as we search the Scriptures so that we may grow thereby. 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Please remember that you are cordially invited to come and study God's Word with us at 2061 North Merciful Circle. From the Parks Highway, take Seward Meridian, then turn right on Bogard Road. We're just past the Boys and Girls Club on the right. Our meeting times are Sunday morning Bible study for all ages at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. and evening worship at 5 p.m. Our midweek Bible study for all ages is on Wednesday at 7 p.m. If you have any questions concerning the lesson presented, would like additional study material, a home Bible study, or a DVD copy of today's lesson, please visit us at churchofchristwasilla.com. There, you'll be able to download this radio program and other sermons free of charge and listen on demand. That's churchofchristwasilla.com. You can also contact us by calling 373-5773. Thank you for listening and searching the Scriptures with us this morning.